Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Deb Caron. I am guest hosting this episode because we have a very special guest in our studio today, actually a couple of guests, but we are joined by Thomas Barr, who is the Executive Director of Local First Arizona. And in a very different role today, our other guest is Karen Nowicki, the CEO and President of Phoenix Business Radio. So normally in the host chair, we're going to put the spotlight on Karen and on Thomas and change things up a little bit. So our conversation today is really going to focus around local businesses and what the two of you are doing to really help foster local businesses, help them grow, help them get found out, all of this good stuff. So Thomas, would you give us a little introduction to yourself and what Local First Arizona is?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm Thomas, recently the executive director of Local First Arizona. Our organization was founded almost 16 years ago by Kimber Lanning, who's a small business owner in Phoenix herself. I was born and raised here, grew up going to places like the Modified Arts in downtown Phoenix, which is a place that Kimber fostered back in the 90s. So I just have really deep-rooted connections to small businesses and cool things happening in Arizona. And I met Kimber about 6 years ago, back when the organization had only 7 people there. Back then we were representing about 2,000 businesses across the state. Today we have over 30 staff representing 3,500 small businesses across Arizona. We're still the largest local business coalition in the country.
Awesome.
And what we do is just focus on being innovative about how we can raise awareness about people shopping locally, mm-hmm. whether you're a consumer or a business owner or somebody purchasing goods and services for a municipality, and then also helping small businesses stay competitive in their markets that tend to be very unbalanced for them. So
yeah.
We do a lot of different things, have a lot of events, resources, programs, all of that, all working to push more spending towards local businesses.
Yeah, that's awesome. In this age of Amazon, it's a very much needed organization that
Absolutely.
You've got there.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Karen. So most of our listeners probably already know what Phoenix Business Radio is, but let's give them a little rundown about who you are and what we are doing here at Phoenix Business Radio.
Yeah, it's different to be sitting on this side of the table. Thank you for the opportunity. As I hear a lot of guests say when they come on our show, Phoenix Business Radio has been around for just under 2 years. In fact, Adrian McIntyre is opening the next Business Radio X studio in the Valley. We're calling it Valley Business Radio X. And then we have one in Tucson as well. But we're part of a bigger organization that's been around for 10 years. And there are other studios in Atlanta, Pensacola, and St. Louis, I believe. And the whole idea is a hyper-local radio platform and or podcast platform for small business owners to have a chance to share their success with the particular audience that wants to listen. So by the nature of podcasting, it's really all around going right to the source to get your information. When someone wants to listen to a podcast, they, you know, type in whatever they want and they go right to that source. So we always say that we have 100% intentional listeners. So that if, you know, it's Local First or if it's somebody who owns a window washing company or a Copper Point Insurance or Infusionsoft, whoever it is, if someone wants to go and learn about those organizations, we help create content for that. That's the podcast radio piece of what we do. Obviously, we broadcast live on our network, and then within a week later, it becomes a podcast. It's also Creative Commons content, so our business owners and their guests can use that content on their social media. They can turn them into smaller sound bites, that sort of thing. So we're really here to just tell a great success story around the businesses that are local, but it can be heard anywhere, really anytime. Yeah, I think that's plenty for one little chomp. Off the apple right now.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I do love that what you both are doing is really trying to help our community thrive. And that's an important aspect of it. So let's talk a little bit, Thomas, about, you know, you gave a little background about Local First and about the why behind it. But let's tell us a little bit about what your membership gets out of being part of Local First, and then how you promote out into the community to, you know, promote that shop local.
Sure.
Shop local sentiment.
Sure. Yeah. So we represent a wide variety of businesses. And a lot of people think local and small as kind of the same a lot of the time, which is the same most of the time. But we represent small companies, large companies, companies in Phoenix, companies in Bisbee, Arizona.
I love Bisbee. It's a great town.
Coffee shops, web developers, graphic designers. So there's such a wide range of the types of businesses we represent. We have to be really innovative and unique in how we provide resources.
Yeah.
So for a lot of businesses that join Local First, they're looking for more exposure. And so one of the things we've worked really hard at is building a really robust directory for people to go and find local businesses at. So we're getting searched in our directory 65,000 times a month. So the second somebody signs up for Local First, that's the first thing we give them is a listing on that directory. I mean, if you're starting out, I mean, if you're a web developer in your home or you just opened up a coffee shop in Tempe and, you know, the SEO, the search engine optimization isn't really pumping up for you when people type in coffee shop on Google yet, getting in our directory will help you. And so we want local businesses to be found. And so that's the first, that's kind of where we start. From there, it's kind of dependent on what the local business needs. And what we do is we ask the business a few questions to get to know them a little better. How long have you been in business? Are you doing really well? Are you hiring right now? Are you just starting out? Have you been in business for 40 years and you're looking to get some new ideas on how you can market yourself in the given economy that's going on right now? And so we have a wide variety of things we can offer. We have everything from networking events that businesses can come out to. We put on a fall festival every November that retail and food businesses can come out and show their crafts and things at. And then we have ongoing digital resources. We have an online local learning lab that small businesses can access, which is information and content on how to network better, how to market better, all the bells and whistles about how to run your company. Just getting them to think creatively from local experts about different things going on and how they can reinvent themselves. So
that's really good. So it's membership-based. They pay a fee to be part of it, the businesses do?
Yeah, it's really affordable. If you're a small business, less than 4 employees, it's only $59 a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. That. Yeah. Shout out to Andrea Brundage when we had Kendall, who's on your team. I can't remember her role, though.
She's now our business and media relations manager.
Yeah. So Andrea with SOS reached out and said, hey, would you be willing to have her Local First on? That was the first time we really got to hear your guys' story. Cool. We've since had Kendall on twice and Kimber on as well. And on air, Andrea said, and Karen, I would like to gift you your Local First membership, which was really very sweet,
very cool.
Because I had just, that was my first introduction to everything you're doing. And since then, I'm constantly, you know, talking it up. I was in, not Tucson, but one, what's the little town outside of kind of Tombstone area? What would that be? I can't remember where we were over the summer, but somebody had their Local First window decal.
Okay.
And I love that because you guys are all over the state, right? It's not just Metro Phoenix.
Yeah. Right. So of those 3,500 businesses, the majority of them are Metro Phoenix, but we've got everything from Bisbee to Ajo to Cottonwood, Flagstaff, all across the state. Yeah.
Yeah. So. And I think Kimber, do I remember Kimber specifically said kind of her focus, right, as you guys move forward is to make sure that those rural communities do have a bigger presence.
Absolutely. Yeah. We can't leave rural behind. It's rural communities across the country have been left behind in many ways. So in 2009, after Kimber started Local First Arizona, about 7 years after, she started the Local First Arizona Foundation, which is what she runs today. And one of their key initiatives is to provide support to the rural businesses throughout Arizona. So they act as the Arizona Rural Development Council. And I mean, economic development in rural communities is very different than urban. So they have a very specific focus and touch that they do there. So,
Love it. Yeah. You mentioned in the beginning Bisbee, and then you said the word coffee house or cafe. I had a breakfast meeting this morning at the Bisbee Cafe, I think it's called.
They have it in Mesa?
Yeah.
Or something?
Yeah, it's in Mesa. Yeah. And I had never been there before. Who I was meeting with suggested it's a delicious little place. And I said, well, and my first time here, what's great on the menu? And tell me a little bit about you. And they have one location in Bisbee in Tucson, which to me, I didn't really think that Tucson was big enough to have four, but that's fantastic. And then I think they're opening one in Gilbert as well. But it was a sweet little place. So it made me think I was just at a Bisbee Cafe this morning.
How funny.
So cool. Yeah.
It's ironic.
Yep.
Right?
And I'm I want to get more involved. I haven't been, aside from obviously having you guys to the studio to tell your success story. I'm anxious in 2019 to see, like, how can we, you know, as this media platform, be a greater of greater service to you guys, and for me to learn, how can I take advantage of my membership in a bigger way? Mm-hmm. There was the Yes Phoenix group on Facebook. Somebody was asking for an email server, or, you know, what do you call it, CRM. Mm-hmm. And all the suggestions prior to mine were, you know, MailChimp and all these bigger companies. And the gal who handles part of our social media, Michelle Faust, she also hosts her show Rhino Nation out of the studio. She introduced me to a company called FireDrum, and they are here local. So I, to me, it's just natural to say, hey, FireDrum, here's the link, and then hashtag local first.
Yeah,
right? So my question, I guess, is how do we best help local first as an organization and an entity that supports small businesses, or really just local businesses? What's the best way for us to promote and encourage more involvement? Is it like a hashtag like that? And if so, did I use the right one? What does that look like and sound like?
I think it's constantly having the conversations and taking people from where they start with local, which is the coffee shops, and this place is so great and I love it and have meetings there, continue to do that. But then going from, okay, so I can have my meetings at a local coffee shop. Where do I source my local office supplies from? Where's my web developer live? Where's my graphic designer live? The printing companies that I use, when we hire a janitorial supply company, are they a locally based company? And start to think really internally about how you are supporting other businesses, because it's one thing to be a local business, but it's other to be a really intentional local businesses and support the other businesses surrounding you. Because we never hear on the news about the janitorial supply companies or the office supply companies or those printing companies or those accountants.
Which are imperative to running your business.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's why we do what we do, right? Great segue. We, in our news, whether it's TV or it's print or even radio, we often don't hear stories about those businesses, those service providers and or products until something negative has happened. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody goes out of business or something crazy happens and it's, you know, quote unquote newsworthy. Mm-hmm. And we want to, again, in a different way that you serve our community, we like bring those, let's talk about your business. We had, I can't even think of, we've had over 1,000, I think we counted recently, over 1,000 business owners leaders come through our studio since we've been open.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there's 95% of the firms registered in Arizona are small businesses. And that's
95%. And define small business for
less than 100 employees.
Less than 100?
Yeah. So what we tend to hear about is big company coming over, they're going to create 100 jobs or whatever really quickly. But we're not thinking about, who's actually here building, growing.
95%.
Yeah. Well, and there are statistics, and you may know some of them off the top of your head, but, you know, as far as who contributes to the economy the most, the small businesses really are the backbone of our country, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You have a statistic on the website about like how much remains in the community when you shop local versus when you don't. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, can you expand upon, you know, how that helps us all succeed more?
Yeah. And a lot of it happens in the background, but some of it is placemaking. So two of the reasons our organization was started, Kimber started years ago, was one was to connect people to place. If you make relationships with people that you're spending money with, if the pizza shop you go to, you know the owner and by name, and he knows what you're going to order when you come in, and you're going to feel more connected to your neighborhood, right? Mm-hmm. When that business turns around and does business with other local businesses around him or her, they're going to have more relationships. And what that placemaking does is it makes you feel more, and not just feel, but makes you more invested in the place that you live. And when you feel more invested, you're going to vote, you're going to volunteer, you're going to give charitably, you're going to care about what's going on, rather than being disconnected, not caring, and not knowing the people around you. Mm-hmm. There's all the studies and statistics that show what's the highest determinant of crime in neighborhoods. It's neighbors knowing each other. So could we extend that to businesses, knowing the businesses in your neighborhood, knowing the businesses in your community? So that placemaking piece is a critical component of shopping locally.
Yeah.
That second piece, though, is that level playing field for small businesses. We hear a lot, and what tends to happen is economic development groups have focused so much energy and time and money on trying to attract large businesses to come over that we tend to forget what those small businesses are, like you're saying, that are the backbone of the local economy here.
Right.
We look at a company like Cabela's, who everywhere they go, on average, mm-hmm. they receive about a $40 million tax subsidy. In Glendale, they received a $70 million tax subsidy. And what that does long term and short term, we get a great new story on the 5 o'clock news that says Cabela's is coming over, hiring 80 people, and it sounds good. And, you know, we close the paper and that's a good day. But we're not thinking 5, 10 years, 15 years down the road. Two of those national jobs that were created, three local jobs were actually lost. And in that specific example, Cabela's went around, they cherry picked a bunch of managers and employees from local hunting, fishing, outdoor gear shops so they could open. And when we think about that long term, it's closing more small businesses. It's like less tax revenue for the region, and it's creating less connection to place, mm-hmm. like we were talking about before. So those are two critical importance when we think about shopping locally. It's not just the economy, but it's also our connection to the place that we live. So,
yeah.
So from a consumer standpoint, when we're trying to get people to really embrace that local first, you know, I mean, it's pretty darn convenient to get on your Prime now and just get something delivered. So how do you kind of encourage that amongst the community? Mm-hmm. Obviously, spreading the word is one way. Mm-hmm. But are there other strategies that you are out there employing to really help just average consumers understand the importance of this?
Yeah. So there's so many things you get from shopping or spending time with a local business that you don't from an Amazon or a business that's very far away. First is that there's that connection. You're getting the best service. You're getting unique products. You're having an experience that continues to connect you to place. But as you continue to find more things, that healthy competition is better for the local economy. So maybe the local business that you go to, that one that you go to, doesn't have every product that you want or need, but there's going to be others out there that do. And having that stimulation of different economic competition locally is good for the consumer. If we only have very few businesses offering us products, then those prices are going to tend to be higher and higher and higher as time goes on. Mm-hmm. And so we need healthy local competition among businesses in order to keep things competitive and have us looking for those different products and things like that. So
that makes sense. That's mm-hmm. that's a good way to put it. And I think when every time you say it to someone, they're like, oh yeah, I really do want to support my local businesses. I think we all have to just probably be a little bit better about honoring that commitment rather than going for the easy route sometimes.
And I think it's that constant reminder, right?
Yes.
So it's convenient to pull into Starbucks because they're on every corner. If we've made a personal commitment to, you know, make sure that we're grabbing our coffee from a local coffee shop, the more you practice and the more mindful you are and the greater example you are, because now you're bringing your friends and doing those meetings there, it becomes easier. I mean, I used to be a Starbucks fanatic. Isn't and partly because of, you know, money, like this is ridiculous. I'm spending $6 on a coffee all the time.
Right.
And if I'm going to, I might as well make it $6 at a coffee at a local, a local shop.
I actually always find the coffee better at those little shops.
Yeah.
There's one that's near me.
Once
you make that shift and you're not just a zombie consumer, then you know you can easily make that shift and
you meet more interesting people.
I was just
going to
say that, right? There's a sense of pride and community when we're doing that.
I always joke with our staff because we're always trying to think of funny ideas and kind of sometimes snarky ideas at how we can take jabs at the national companies without being, you know, disrespectful or anything. Because Starbucks in itself is actually a great business.
Yes,
like
they
treat their employees really well. I mean, they offer benefits to their employees, not something a company that size typically gives to those types of employees that they have.
Right.
But I always see online all these funny things where people go into a Starbucks and their name is wrong every time.
Yeah,
you see the markups on the cups that people post on Instagram and they're always wrong. I went into a coffee shop in Arcadia, Hava Java, and somebody that was meeting with me was late and I was sitting there maybe 20 minutes in that place is so fast paced. Like it's as fast paced as Starbucks with the people that come in every morning. So I probably saw 45 people go through that line in 20, 25 minutes. And the barista knew every single person's name, like in her head. She didn't have a piece of paper. She just remembered every single person that came in. And I was like,
it's loyalty.
Clearly,
loyal customers.
Yeah. It was, and I mean, imagine how every person felt like when that person that works at that business remembers your name every time.
But that's probably why they keep coming back too, right?
Yeah.
Like it's something kind of nice about going in and seeing that's part of your morning routine. Mm-hmm. You're like, hey, Susie, I'm here for my coffee. Mm-hmm.
And it's just not something you can teach in a corporate employee handbook. You know, it's something just ingrained in how somebody runs a business.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. I love that. So let's bounce back to Phoenix Business Radio and, you know, kind of getting those messages out there. So when we're trying to say like, hey, everybody, it's really important that we support our local businesses. This is one of the reasons you started it, right?
It is. Yes. It's two things. One, it's getting the message out about small businesses, that local, again, hyper-local. The intention is to have more studios statewide. They're all each independently owned and operated, but we all share, right? So I'm a huge cheerleader for Adrian opening up, as I am for Tucson, because we know that, like, even just Tempe, where we're located, every time I drive from my home on in Chandler, North Chandler, the South Tempe border up I-10, I just think of all the businesses that I pass just in that short, 10-minute drive. Mm-hmm. And all those businesses need an opportunity to tell their success story. University of Advancing Technologies is a great example. I've lived in the Valley since 1979. And it wasn't until Russ Yelton came and revisited me after he had been on Jody Lowe's show, Leadership Lowdown, and said, hey, I've kind of switched gears. I'm no longer with Pinnacle. I, you know, sold that and now I'm on to a new gig. Let me tell you about University of Advancing Technologies. I think I even exchanged an email with you when I went to get ready to go tour. And I was like, this is on my ride to and from work. Has been since 79 for whatever, 30 something years. Didn't even know they were there. And they are a major player for...
They're a good school.
Holy cow. For obviously anything in the world of tech, security, cybersecurity, as well as the creative industry, 3D.
We got into tech before it was huge.
Oh my gosh. And they've been here forever. There's a campus. They actually live on campus. They have a dorm room. And so I went and took a tour and I'm like, how come I don't know about you? And so we're working on having getting them here. They now have a co-work space that they're opening up to help facilitate those relationships and those jobs for the students as they graduate with our local businesses. Mm-hmm. And so that more of us are aware that they're here. And so we do two things. One, we amplify the voice of business. That content that we create on the podcast is Creative Commons content. I think I mentioned that earlier, so that the business owners can then use it on social media and their websites. And they have our express permission to turn it into smaller sound bites. It just gives that content legs. But Deb, what we really do, and I know you know this because you're intimately involved and have your own show, Culture Crush, we help accelerate the right relationships.
Right.
So a lot of the business owners who come in and they start off with a guest experience, they love this opportunity to sit for up to an hour, like learning about, you know, different businesses while they're here and feeling that sense of pride and appreciation that we've given them a platform to tell their success story, right? It's really cool even for me to sit on the other side of this and go, wow, you're turning the spotlight on me. I kind of like this. Mm-hmm. And then business owners, our revenue, since the guest experience is always free, the revenue for Phoenix Business Radio is that business owners then come in and say, hey, how can I do this for my business? How would this work for my business? And I honestly, as I talk to Deb and Dan and the rest of my team, I can't think of a business or a vertical industry that this wouldn't work for. And the example I always like to give is my husband's auto shop. He owns an auto shop in Chandler. He's been open just a little bit longer than me. Chandler Auto Repair and Service. Got to give a shout out to Mike and his team. But Mike would love to grow his business. And we have a big fleet that he works on their cars, but it's 100 trucks and vans on the road right now. If we took on another fleet that size, it would be too much for him as he's servicing, you know, regular customers as well. So he's like, I don't need any more fleets. I'm like, you do, but you need the smaller fleets. So here's how we could help someone like Mike. If Mike had a show, and I'm, you know, trying to get him to do this, leave your shop for just one day a month, come play with me. I guarantee you, you'll have these business owners wanting to work with you. Let's say his show would be called High Velocity Radio, Chandler Businesses on the Road, right? So then Mike can go 5 to 10 miles outside of where his shop is and look to see what landscaper, roofer,
pool guy,
anybody
pest
who
control.
Happens, pest control, exactly, who's out in that area. Again, you don't only have to go 5 miles out from where he is, right? And he can pick up the phone and instead of calling and saying, hey, I'm Mike with Chandler Auto Repair and Service, I'd love to work on your fleet. Ugh, that's a cold call. One, he doesn't like to do that. And two, the receiving end, it often doesn't feel good, especially in the world of mechanics and car care. People aren't always trusting their mechanic, right? And so they're hanging up the phone if he were to do that. Instead, hey, I'm Mike. I have my own radio show. It's called High Velocity Radio. Come and share a little bit about your success story as a landscaper, pool guy, electrician. Now the answer is always yes. And I mean this sincerely. Out of the 1,000 business owners and executive leaders that we've had here at the studio, we have never had a no. We've had a, hey, maybe in a couple months, I've got, you know, I want to time it with this. We've never had a no because people want more people to know about their business. Mm-hmm. So now when Mike hosts this program, let's say, and he's got two or three local business owners who are already right in his area, after the show, this is the magic of what we do, right? And the headsets are off and the on-air button is no longer illuminated. Then those business owners are looking across the table at Mike, having given them a gift to tell their story. So they would be in Deb's role, or excuse me, Mike would be Deb's role, and I'm the landscaper, you're the electrician. We're done. And you're looking at Mike like, that was fun. Thank you so much, you know, and we understand that you could use the content. And that's when Mike, we help someone like Mike learn to say, listen, loved having an opportunity to share your success story. It'll be a podcast, that whole bit. Dan, our producer and studio ambassador, helps with that piece. Then he gets to say, if you ever need a mechanic, here's my card. Reciprocity is a beautiful thing when you've been given genuinely a gift and an authentic opportunity to really sit in the presence of your greatness. Then on the receiving end, you want to give something back to Mike. Right. Now, this is a great example, again, because it's automotive and not everybody trusts their mechanic. One of a couple things are going to happen. You might already have your brother-in-law or your longtime mechanic who's been working on your fleet for 4 or 5 years, and he or she's fantastic. You're not going to give that up. But I've seen this happen with other hosts. You get Mike's card and you say, you know what? I've already got a trusted mechanic. We're sticking with him because he's been with us forever. It's my brother-in-law. My wife would kill me kind of a thing. But my son plays baseball at Desert Vista High School or XYZ, or I know my neighbors are looking for a mechanic. Let me pass your card along, because now you want, to your point, we want to serve each other, right? Or in this case, oftentimes, you know, hey, we've been looking for a mechanic. Our guy retired or he moved, or we have yet to ever find a trusted mechanic. We've got a truck that needs to be worked on tomorrow. I'm going to give you a call, when we get out of here. And again, I know, Deb, when you and I have been challenging each other, I don't know that there is an industry or a business that this format wouldn't work for, to help accelerate those relationships.
Right.
That's what we do. A great example is Joe Puz with the Project Management Office Hours. He's been hosting his show a little under a year, I think. And Joe had just moved from Atlanta, ironically, which is where our parent company is. And he relocated his family here. His wife wanted warmer weather for their kids as they grew up. And Joe had to rebuild his project management consulting firm out here in Arizona, not knowing a soul. Mm-hmm. We met through alliances, which was great. And coming up the elevator, I'm like, hey, well, you ought to think about being our show. We're from Atlanta as well. And he is now the number one project management podcast on iHeartRadio and iTunes, just as a result of strategically inviting people within his industry, both folks that he wants to do work with, but also helping to elevate his exposure as an expert and a leader in the industry. I know it's very long-winded and several different examples. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. No, I was definitely going to touch on that it is twofold, because you're providing the opportunity for just, you know, folks like Thomas to come on and share about Local First. But then from that lens of, yes, I also have my own show, it's a great opportunity. I love to do it because I love to learn from the other businesses, but also give them that opportunity to talk about what they do. So it's nice in that, you know, there's a synergy there between what you're doing and just that we really are giving that voice and giving that recognition.
I know you're hosting the show, but your example is a great one, because you had just made a decision, and we've known each other for years, but you had just made a decision to go out on your own. Mm-hmm. Are you comfortable or willing to speak about what the platform has done for you? I mean,
the interviewer. Yeah. I mean, for me, what I'm doing with my particular show, because it's focused on company culture, it's something that I'm interested in and kind of a transition that I'm trying to make, and that I want to do something in that vein. So I'm bringing folks in. I'm learning so much from them. Every single time I sit down with these people, I have actually got some business out of folks that I've sat down and interviewed. I've had some great opportunities coming up. I'm actually going to an event with Tignum in a couple of weeks.
Guest.
Yeah, Scott Pelton was a guest, one of my favorite shows that I've ever done. So it's been wonderful for me in that it has given me an opportunity to also just kind of make a better name for myself, establish my own credibility. So there's a good opportunity there. You know, it's a little bit different, but your folks with, you know, Local First, there's probably a bunch of different businesses in there that would love to, you know, even we've talked about having like a restaurant focused show. If somebody wanted to kind of host a show that's all about like, I mean, we have a great restaurant scene that's bubbling up here in Phoenix, right? So if somebody were interested in just talking about like what happens in on the Phoenix food scene.
Exactly. And a great, we use the term sponsor and host interchangeably.
Yeah.
So a great sponsor or host for a restaurant series like that would be any business that serves restaurateurs.
So this is true. Restaurant supply company or...
Exactly. So if, who do they need to be in front of? They need to be in front of restaurants. So let's create a show around, you know, the happening places that, that are, you know, food and beverage in Arizona. Right. And then they invite those folks, they tell their great story. And in turn, you know, if there's an opportunity, they're like, hey, you know, we've got these great paper products or utensils or what, you know, food source, whatever it is.
We need to get, do you guys know David DiLorenzo?
I know the name.
Yeah. You guys got to know David DiLorenzo.
Help me remember.
So he runs, I'm going to plug Dave real quick.
Good.
He's the best guy you'll ever meet. He runs an insurance company. He's a brokerage insurance company called Bar and Restaurant Insurance. But it's not like, oh, I got to call my broker. Like, he runs it just based off of people. All he does is he goes around and he visits his clients. He takes pictures of them. He posts them on Instagram.
Yes.
He gets to know the owners. He promotes all of the restaurants. He promotes the people that work with the restaurants. And he just takes fun photos and shares stories about cool things that they're doing. So it's everything from the Churchill in downtown Phoenix and the businesses there to Petal House Brewery on Mill Avenue. And he just goes out and he just says hello. And he doesn't make it about the transaction. He makes it about the relationship.
The
and he's just one of the best people that does something like that. Because I mean, you think insurance, you just think, oh, boring, like that, you know. But he makes it fun. He makes it a relationship.
It's a perfect example. What, he's doing, yes, he's doing a version of what we help business owners do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'd love an introduction.
No, he would be really fun to talk to for sure.
Cool.
Yeah. So with Local First, you guys, you mentioned that you do, you know, you host events or what, you know, as far as creating those networking opportunities for those businesses, one business to connect with another, what do you do aside from having that directory or how are you fostering those relationships between the business owners that really might need to know each other?
So it's a multitude of ways. We put on three major events every year for that community building type networking for our members. So the first I mentioned before, it's our Arizona Fall Festival we do every November. We just had a month ago. We had 28,000 people come out to downtown.
Wow. Where was it hosted at?
At Hans Park downtown.
Wow. How many?
28,000. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank
compared
you.
To, do you know what it was last year?
Well, 15 years ago when Kimber started it, it was in the parking lot of Duck and Decanter on 16th Street and Camelback. There's about 20 vendors, maybe 500 people or so, a couple of wineries. 5 or 6 years after doing it there, moved to Portland Parkway on Portland Street between Central and 3rd Ave. We did it there for 4 or 5 years, and we capped out at about 10,000 people. And then they built a big condo, and we couldn't do it on that street anymore. And we kind of sat there and said, man, where do we go? What do we do? We looked at Hans Park, and it was just so big. We were, how could we ever do a festival there? One thing about Local First is we are not like most nonprofits where we take a lot of risks and we look at things in very innovative ways. So we said, you know what, let's take a risk. Let's jump over to Hans Park. And we doubled our vendors. We doubled our attendance.
And filled the park.
Brought more people to downtown Phoenix. Yeah. The cool thing about it is that 10 years ago when the light rail started, people did not take public transportation to downtown Phoenix.
Right.
Now we have floods of people getting off on Central and Roosevelt and walking down the Hans Park Bridge, flooding that park. And it's a different place now. And that's something that we're so proudful of. It's not just for Local First to put on a big event. It's that the vendors that are there are skyrocketing their profits from getting to know more people. And the people that are coming are getting to, oh, I didn't know that place was local. Like, I see so many people coming. I didn't know Los Compadres or Macayo's was a local business.
I didn't know Macayo's was.
They are. And it's so cool to see that connection and just that fun ease of access to local businesses. So we just had our 14th year. Next year will be our 15th.
Wow.
And so that's a great opportunity for our business owners. I mean, we set up little quads of booths. So there's four different business owners in each one. And, you know, they'll get to know each other. They'll share their space together. Yes. And, you know, they'll trade business cards and do business later. And, I mean, we've had 50 or 60 businesses coming out for the last 7 years that, you know, walk by and say hi to each other. And it's just that community placemaking that makes you feel really good about the work that we're doing.
Yeah.
So, that, I mean, that's really great. But, you know, maybe you're a handyman and the Fall Festival isn't the thing for you. You know, that's not where you're looking to get your clients. Mm-hmm. The second thing that we do each year, and this is something new, is in January, we're putting on our Arizona Good Business Summit.
Right.
So this is more so for our B2B type businesses looking for new strategies and innovative ways on how to build great companies in Arizona. So not just looking at how do I build my profits and, you know, profit first mentality kind of thing. We know businesses need to make a profit to stay in business. So we're not saying you don't need to. But what is a holistic way that you can build your company and build your profits by being a good business here, by focusing on community-focused solutions? So we're bringing in a lot of local experts like Adam Goodman, who I know is involved with Conscious Capitalism. Lauren Bailey from Upward Projects, who built, you know, the Postino and Joyride Taco House, all those restaurants.
And she's so fun.
Oh, she's so awesome.
I've seen all of our Conscious Capitalist pals.
Kyle and Scott will be there from X6. And, you know, just a lot of great minds to talk about all of the opportunity that businesses have in Arizona to be good and build themselves. So really excited about that. That'll be the end of January. And then in the spring, we put on a week of culinary events called Devour Week.
Oh, yes.
And so that starts with a bartending competition in downtown Phoenix. We have an event in the middle of the week called Devour the World at the Japanese Friendship Garden, which focuses on world cuisine that's right here in Phoenix. And then it caps off at the end of the week with the two-day culinary festival at Desert Botanical Garden. And the really unique thing about this, I mean, we hear about all these food events all the time, and there's events every week and we get invited to. These are really focused on, again, that connection piece. A bartending competition, you're coming out and you're seeing the most best up-and-coming bartenders in Phoenix and what they've got, and they're competing on a stage together. You come to Devour the World, you find out about food being made here that you didn't even know existed before. And then you come to Devour Culinary Classic and you see all these world-renowned chefs. All these chefs are getting recognized. New York Times recognizes that event as the best regional culinary festival every year.
Wow.
And so it's really cool to see this happening right here in Phoenix. Because again, 10 years ago, people weren't proud of this place.
Right.
You know, people did not leave and say, you gotta come to Phoenix.
Right.
And now they are. And a lot of these things are directly connected to that. So we put together these opportunities for our business owners, for the public to get engaged. And the more that we can talk about this connection to place piece and these fun, cool things that you can do right here locally, the more business that drives for all of our members statewide.
So, right. That's really good. You were talking about, you know, we didn't realize Macayo's actually did not know that they were local. I thought that they were a chain. So is there a point where, you know, a business, will they always be a local business if they've been founded here, even if they branch outside of the state? Or is there some sort of criteria?
Well, our board of directors has specific eligibility requirements for our members. And it goes from everything from your headquarters being here to the owner living here most of the year, those types of things. But we try to work with companies as much as possible and partner in every way and being as inclusive as we can. So, for example, we don't say that, you know, once you get large, you can't
be local
anymore. We have Infusionsoft in Chandler, which you mentioned earlier. They're a local company. They're headquartered right here.
They've been on with us.
We have the Copper Point Mutual. We have Shamrock Farms, Hickman's Eggs, Harkins Theaters.
I mean, well, we should be proud of them for that amount of growth, right?
Yeah. Real quick, I forgot that before you and I met, well, we had briefly met. I think you and I said that before we got on air. I was in a pinch. I am on the board for Treasures for Teachers, and I had an event coming up, and I had a couple of restaurants who were supposed to help us with a thing we were doing at the warehouse to help welcome teachers into the new year. And a few people bailed on me, and it may have been my fault because I didn't follow up, you know, consistently. Four Peaks was one that stayed in the game. It was kind of their co-event. But I reached out to Thomas and I said, I am in a pinch. And Kyle and Scott McIntosh were the ones who said, I'm like, I'm dying here. I cannot show up as a board member and not have, you know, finished my part of the deal in getting food vendors for this event. Cause like reach out to Thomas, Jen and Kyle both said that. Macayo's and Los Compadres. Isn't that funny?
I didn't even realize it was the
I know when you heard him, I went, oh my gosh, I need to mention that. he said, listen, let me get you in touch with them. So Thomas said, and I think this is a great example, clearly, with, you know, I want to speak to it, how you guys show up for it, because we hadn't even met yet officially. So he sends out an email that day to both Mikhail's and Los Compadres and said, and I had already had McAllister's Deli in my pocket because he had been on with us before. I'm like, okay, I need to reach out. And just said, hey, can you help this, you know, this nonprofit? And sure enough, they all provided beautiful food. I mean, more food than we needed. One was willing to come and drop it off. The other one, I went to pick it up. But just to be present and to help welcome the teachers back to their school year, didn't expect anything from it. We in turn, right, this is because we want it to be reciprocal. We in turn then went and did a quick little live stream from their restaurants afterwards to thank them and interviewed the owners and or, you know, their management team. But that's how Local First showed up for us as a great example. Like, okay, who do I know? Who's in our organization? Yeah. Who is local and can make this happen? Especially in a pinch. Not that we recommend you always reach out when you're always in a pinch, but that's my firsthand experience with you guys. And it's funny that you had just mentioned that, those two restaurants.
I just literally thought of like who everybody always talks about. But that's so funny because that's part of the relationship piece. Like Monica from Los Compadres, text basis now. And I mean, she was texting me one day because she found a stray dog in her neighborhood and she didn't know what to do with it. And my wife and I are big animal people. And so it's just like those relationships you build. And so I was like, who can I call?
And they did. They, because of your relationship with them, personally, of course, and professionally, but also wanting to do good by our community and give back to our teachers, they were both like, absolutely, here's what we got. And again, a shout out to McAllister's Deli for joining us in that as well. But it ended up being, and I got to save face, you know, because I got to show up and give my team what I had said I would do. So,
and it came full circle for us too, because the next week we had a meeting with Copper Point Mutual, which I know.
Yes, they're heavily involved in Treasures for Teachers.
Is involved, and they were like, oh, we just heard that you guys helped us, and I have no idea. And we're just, you know, riding the elevator up, and they're letting us know about it. So it's
happy.
Cool.
It is. It comes full circle. I really say it's the gift of reciprocity. When we care, when we make it about community first and the relationships that we're here to have a long-term relationship with each other, everything begins to fall into place. Mm-hmm. And that really is what our platform is for. And it, obviously, you guys do the same thing. We just do it slightly different. But my mind is racing around, especially these events. I'm like, well, we need to make sure that we get Thomas and his team back on to talk about these events.
Absolutely.
Because that's the other piece of what we do, right? We don't just tell stories about the business owners, but we also like to work with organizations and associations to tell about the great things they're doing. We had Phoenix Business Journal on a couple of times. Mm-hmm. We want to have AIGA has their big designer week. We had them on, and the folks that they chose to have speak are a lot of local business owners themselves in the obviously creative space, but they all got to come in. And in fact, they're on a team put together this annual event, and they all have their own respective small businesses. And after they got done, we were taking photos. Prisma was kind of their banner or title sponsor, another great company to recognize doing worldwide business and still here locally here in Arizona. But each of them said, wow, in an hour-long format, especially the way that we do it, just kind of let's just have a conversation that people have the benefit of listening in on. I didn't know this about you. And they've been working together for almost 9 months on this big project. Mm-hmm. I didn't know you XYZ, and I know you better. And it's the same thing you're talking about when these vendors get to spend a whole day with each other across from each other. And then year after year, they get to see each other again and or hopefully have those connections. That's what we provide week in and week out.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really great. So both of these platforms obviously are resources for community members. If somebody is not necessarily a member of Local First, but maybe they have a corporate job and they're not necessarily involved in that way, they can go on and find local businesses that they want to support as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a free directory, localfirstaz.com. Click on find and you can search over 3,500 local businesses across the state, whether you're looking for that local coffee shop here or you want to start.
Yeah, if you're in Bisbee and you look for something.
Right, exactly.
You want to find something good.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then do you have volunteer opportunities also?
Yeah, so for all the major events I listed, we have lots of volunteer opportunities there throughout the year. And then ongoingly, we do a lot of work in sustainability as well. So we work with our small businesses in helping them become more green. And we're actually working on a new green business certification program that we're launching in Phoenix and Tempe over the next year. So that's going to be really exciting. And so there's lots of opportunities for those too. We've just in our fall festival alone, we instated a Towards Zero Waste plan 4 years ago. We used to fill three large, one of the, those huge garbage bins that the you see dropped off at all of those major events. We used to fill up three of those and decreased that from just being towards the waste of the events to be recycling and compost as well. And we reduced it from three of the large bins to just half of one.
Wow.
In 4 years.
Huge.
That's significant.
So,
is waste management involved with you guys?
No.
So let me help with that introduction because they're amazing. They've been on with us a couple of times, and obviously that's everything that they're about. They did the same thing at, obviously, the Open.
Oh, cool.
And that'd be a great introduction.
Cool.
That's locally based as well?
Yes. Yeah.
Cool.
It's interesting how many names when you're just like, you know, you're here and you see them all the time and you just assume they're like, oh, everybody has waste management, don't they? I didn't know it's like just a Phoenix thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very interesting. So what about, you know, you were talking about events. We with Phoenix Business Radio X, there's sometimes events that we might host and be part of as well.
I want to do that. So as a solopreneur, right, that I've been working on, you know, again, it's for the last year and a half, I just finally have put the right team together so I can come out from underneath the trees and start to look at a more of a long-term plan. And it does include having events. We have, like I said, over 1,000 business owners and executive leaders have come through. And in this sweet little container of telling your story for an hour, we get to know each other. So like you, we were talking about with Monica at Los Compadres, I know that I can get on an email or pick up the phone and call somebody who's been a guest of one of our shows and make that accelerated introduction. Oftentimes people say, when are we all going to get together? And I need to do that. I just haven't done it yet. But I know in January, we're looking at doing that. We're involved, obviously, in Conscious Capitalism. They, along with Max 6, the Conscious Workspace here in Tempe, are our location sponsors, which is great. So part of our role with Conscious Capitalism Arizona is to help tell those stories. I know Scott McIntosh and Brian Moore have a goal to tell 1,000 success stories. I know that we're at least 50 in where we specifically have spoken to Conscious Capitalism, one of the 5 shows that we sponsor on their behalf. So yes, events in the works. I'm curious, and this is a question as well as a comment. You know, we've got the Small Business Association. We have the Phoenix Business Journal. We have Local First. We have a lot of organizations that that serve businesses. How would you say that you are different? I mean, the Phoenix Business Journal is obviously a news generator,
sure.
But they also host events and do awards and stuff. How are you different than something like the Small Business Association and those kinds of organizations?
Sure. Yeah. And it tends to not be that, but we tend to get the question, how is this different than a Chamber of Commerce?
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
The guys, have you ever interviewed the guys from State 48?
No.
They make the t-shirt company.
Yes.
They've got the t-shirts
blown
up everywhere.
That'd be a great interview.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. I'll make an intro to Michael.
I'd love that.
They're out of Chandler. They started in Chandler. They're now downtown Phoenix too. But he's super familiar with us, but he's like a young guy and, you know, he's super busy. And anytime he gets asked, he's just like, you know, it's kind of just like a much cooler Chamber of Commerce.
Okay, there you go.
And no this to the chambers at all, because we partner with all of them and they're great.
Well, that's the thing. I think it's all not reciprocal, but synergistic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, that's
we've all got our niche and our own focus. And what I tell people is that we're a movement. We're a social movement getting people to think about how they spend their money. And that goes if you're looking to spend your money to get your coffee in the morning. We can help change your mind to try to shift more of those dollars toward a local coffee shop rather than a national chain. That's step one. But if you're a business owner, again, how do you consider how you're impacting the local community and the businesses you're doing business with? And from there, how can we have influence in the purchasing that happens at a city level or even a state level, and how that's directed more to local companies who then turn around and hire more people, and those people spend more dollars in the local community.
So, were you at Mayor Mitchell's State of the City address?
It was the day before the festival.
You had your hands full. So City of Tempe is such a great example of what you've just described with Fabric being part of Tempe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Fabric is part of what you guys are doing, right?
Yeah.
The whole sustainability piece
is
amazing. So Fabric, when they opened up, the City of Tempe partnered with them, which is very unique and fortunately less and less so unique. But it's that kind of opportunity to work with the leaders of our cities to have them help think really globally, but at a very local level.
Mm-hmm.
And Fabric is doing amazing things. We've had them on a couple of times.
Yeah.
And my mind is racing for connections. And Dan, our producer, just passed over notes. And I think you already know Dan Clocky over at the Downtown Phoenix Incorporated,
yeah,
right? When you put on this big event, that's what I figured.
Yeah.
They were involved in that.
Yeah, they're one of the sponsors for the event.
That's what I
awesome.
Thought.
Yeah.
So we've already got that introduction made. Sure. I think even Dan, when he was on, he spoke about the festival.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Yep. But City of Tempe, to bring back to that point, awesome. They do such a wonderful job at supporting local here. I mean, they are an example, a national example for how a city takes intentional steps to support the businesses that are here. I'll make this story as short as I can, but about a year ago, there's a think tank organization out of Maine called the Institute for Local Self-Reliance.
I grew up in Maine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
They did a report actually on Amazon, as we mentioned before, to show that they have a new agenda. And what it is they're trying to extract dollars from city spending. So they've created this contract called a U.S. Communities Contract. So it's kind of hidden. It doesn't have Amazon on the front of it. Mm. And they're making it more easily accessible for city staff across the country to get free Prime memberships and two-day shipping. So they mask it behind this contract called a U.S. Communities Contract.
Interesting.
And the scary thing about it is that they've actually extracted over $500 million from city spending just through setting this up. And so what ended up happening is through this report, they actually showed, because we've been working with the city of Phoenix on their spending for years, they highlighted Phoenix and they said, Phoenix is the only city in the entire country to spend $0 with Amazon in 2017. Only city in the country. When's the last time we were number one on the list?
Right?
It's like, we all know where we are in education, but like, you know, and not to say that that's not important, but we need to talk about the great things that we're doing. And so what ended up happening is city staff found out that they had spent, even though they have contracts with the locally based office supplier Wist, Office Products in Tempe, yes, third generation family owned company, and lots of other local suppliers, they found that they had actually, I don't want to say accidentally, but they had spent a number of dollars with Amazon through this U.S. Communities contract that they were given. And so they looked to the city council to direct them on what to do next. And the city got super proactive. They reached out to us. Vice Mayor Lauren Cuby reached out to us to let us know about it. And then Gail Shanks, the founder of Changing Hands Bookstore, who's still out there activated and driving her business strong. They started over on Mill Avenue years ago.
Yeah.
We connected on the phone and we said, how do we get together on this? So we put together a letter to council and let them know the threat of what's going on across the country right now through that contract. City staff actually set up a special meeting that local businesses could come to learn how to do more business with the city of Tempe. And about 3 weeks ago, the city of Tempe recommended, or the city staff recommended to council, and they passed it through to pull out of the U.S. Communities contract
awesome.
And direct more spending to local businesses.
It's an actual contract that city made with?
No. So it's a contract through Amazon
okay.
that staff can use, and it doesn't need actual approval by council mm-hmm. or anything, because anything spent under $5,000.
But they made a
yeah.
municipal commitment to
right.
say,
we're not going to do that anymore.
Love hearing
so,
that.
So now they're focused on every single thing that they purchase, how can it be directed toward more local companies, which is a huge deal.
I don't know if you had shared the story at the Conscious Capitalism meeting, which is when Deb and I went, we need to get Thomas on. you were fantastic. Or if it was Kendall or even Kimber who shared it. But there's a Tempe story that you guys share that the city of Tempe had made a commitment to, you know, do business with a national company mm-hmm. when we had plenty of vendors right here in Arizona. And
yeah.
when dollar for dollar, it made more sense
mm-hmm.
to go local, right? So to mm-hmm. your point, I think a big part of what you guys do is education, and however we can help
right.
do that, I'd love to be a part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
yeah.
awesome. Cool.
Fascinating.
Really good. Yeah, it really is. That's an interesting story, too, because it's that stuff that we don't even, you know,
never
totally
hear about.
Unaware.
Just a line item on that council meeting agenda, right?
And what a difference y'all can make, right? So now you've got the Phoenix as an example, Tempe, and
yeah.
continue going to the other cities that
Absolutely.
Just say, look, are you aware that
mm-hmm.
this is how it impacts and mm-hmm. affects?
And if you yeah. look at a city budget as a whole, I mean, something like $200,000, I think that was the number that they had spent. As the budget as a whole, that's not that much money, but direct that $200,000 towards local companies, and that's going to make a big difference to
right.
them, right?
Yes.
Again.
So, and then multiply that city to city to city.
Right.
You know?
And then
so.
The placemaking you had said, right? There's all the reciprocal aspects of, mm-hmm. and just the ripple effect makes a difference. So maybe dollar for dollar, it makes more sense, or it looks like it makes more sense going with a national company. But when you keep it local, all the beauty that gets to unfold as a result of that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good. One last thing I want to touch on, because I was exploring around the Local First website a little bit while we were chatting. You also have a little job board on there too, right?
Yeah.
So if that's for your members to list jobs, and then if anybody is out there looking to work with some of these really good-hearted local companies, it's a great place to look for some resources.
Of course, yeah. We have a partnership with a locally-based job board called localwork.com, and it's engineered and powered through our website, so you can look for local jobs there. If you're a Local First member, you can get a special rate to post on that job board, and I think they offer the first 7 days of any posting free. So it's a great thing to kind of try out if you want to try something else, and you're looking to hire local talent in Arizona. So, yeah, it's really cool.
I love that. Great. Very good. Okay, well, anything else that you want to share, Thomas, about Local First that we maybe didn't touch on?
I'm just super, super grateful to be here. This is awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Really great conversation. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And we're having you on again. I know AZ Brandcast is another one of our shows, again, sponsored by Conscious Capitalism. I think, is that January? Do you remember?
I think it's December.
Like December 30th.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, something like
that. We had Heidi Jenanga on Deb's show, and then the very next week she was on AZ Brandcast. Uh-huh. So we try not to have our favorites, because there are so many business owners. However, when we're all swimming kind of in the same same community, it happens that we have people on more than once. So we're looking forward to having
different
you on
AZ shows. Will be different topics.
Cool. Right. That particular conversation is really, and you kind of touched to your point, 10 years ago, Arizona really didn't have, or Phoenix specifically, didn't have this desirable destination feel to it, right? Mm-hmm. So the Downtown Phoenix Incorporated, in addition to Local First and all the decision makers in that area, have made it really an important focal point to bring in festivals and runs. And
We're a young city.
We are.
I've lived here for 15 years and I feel like I've seen a ton of change, and that's not that much time.
There's so much pride. I mean, as you drive through downtown Phoenix, downtown Tempe, Scottsdale, Gilbert, Chandler, Maricopa, we've had the mayor of Maricopa on, was one of my first shows, really talking about the joy and the love that and the desire to give back to community as an economic development group. We are making a difference. And AZ Brandcast, which is really kind of neat, their whole focus is, who is Arizona as a business community, right? Mike Jones and Chris Stadler and the rest of the team are really working with Conscious Capitalism to say, who are we? We're lucky to have that Conscious Capital International convention coming up in April 2019. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we really feel a collective, I know you're part of it, a collective pull to say, we really want to put ourselves on the map. Yeah. And to do that, we have to say who we are as a business community. What are we hanging our hat on? And, we could argue that it's sustainability. We could argue it's tech. We could argue it's startup. Yeah, we're all that. And then who are we all together? Yeah. So that'll be part of the conversation you guys get to have when you're there.
Well, I was joking with Kyle from Max 6 last week. We were having a conversation, and there's this story that I tend to tell about, how my connection to place and when I first realized it here is when the Diamondbacks won the World Series in 2001.
I was game seven.
Oh, you were there?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Well, I can't even tell the story. No.
No, go ahead.
So I'm sitting in my living room with my dad in Glendale, Arizona, and, Luis Gonzalez hits the pitch barely over Derek Jeter's hands, lands in left field, and Derek Miller comes running into home plate. And what really makes chills run down my spine with that is that you weren't just watching on TV this World Series that was always happening far away. You felt the neighborhoods of the Valley erupt with joy. Like, I could hear people shouting outside. And I ran into my kitchen. I grabbed pots and pans and went running out in the streets. And there were people out there with me. And that's when I'm so proud of this place. Yeah. And Kyle was telling me last week, because I was telling a story at an event several months ago, and he was standing in the audience and he was like, man, like when you tell that story, I just want to rip off my shirt because I've got an Arizona tattoo right on his chest. And I was like, dude, you should have. Like, you would have been that guy in that dancing crowd that starts the dance and then everybody joins in. And we can't take those Phoenix tattoos for granted. People didn't used to get those. People didn't used to leave this place and tell people how great it was.
Right.
And it's so many groups, so many people that have stayed here and committed themselves to building a great place that makes it great.
So,
And on that note, we want to continue to add our educators into that conversation, right? We've got great universities. We have private universities as well as our public education. That's part of what I think our responsibility is at Phoenix Business Radio X and really each of our studios here in Arizona. How do we continue to have those conversations so that we can continue to up level and continue to make this a great place to live overall? Education, you know, economy, housing, economic development, serving local, whatever we can do that. For those of you listening, let us know how we can get more involved, because mm-hmm. we surely would love to do that. Mm-hmm. I intend, my husband's originally from a Milwaukee area, and I intend to stay here as long as I can. And I've got three kids here who, you know, are, this is our home.
Yeah.
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 Deb, thank you. This has been a lot of fun.
It's been a great show. So Local First, to find you online, Local First AZ, not spelled out, right?
Correct.
LocalFirstAZ.com. All the resources are there. The job boards we talked about. If you're interested in membership, all the information is there. Mm-hmm. If somebody wants to get in touch with you directly, Thomas, are you on LinkedIn? Or?
Yeah, LinkedIn, Twitter. I have a lot of fun on Twitter.
So, okay. Yeah. All right. What's your Twitter handle?
Thomas L. Barr.
Thomas L. Barr, yeah. With two R's.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, look him up. You can harass him or something on Twitter. And our listeners probably know where to find us, phoenixbusinessradiox.com. All of our episodes will be there. And if there's any other businesses that anybody is looking to get in touch with, they're all our episodes are listed, and you can always reach out.
We're looking for more sponsors. The guest experience is always free, as long as it is a legit business. We're happy to help you share that news. Yep. And of course, we're also looking at having more sponsors, more business owners who want to use this as a platform to accelerate the relationships with people they want to do business with.
Awesome. And you can find Karen all over social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, Karen Nowicki. Twitter, not so much for you?
Not so much. I don't know what the resistance is. I used to own a social media company, for goodness sakes. You'd think that I'd have this down now, but I still hover in Facebook land a lot.
Yeah.
And fortunately, I have a team now who's helping me branch out. I had Dan Schinder on with Drum Talk TV on last week, and he's like, oh, Karen, we need to talk about Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. I'm going to bring it all together for you.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you both for being here. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 in Conscious Capitalism, Arizona studio. Some media leans left, some lean right. We lean business. Until next time.